Technorama episode 490, Le Grand Spectacle.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Say, where does one find the best Black Friday deals before Black Friday?
Over there, in the media corner.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Here, your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Welcome to Technorama. This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. If this is your first time joining us, thank you for finding us on the internet, on Facebook, wherever you found us. Please put it back. If you're
put it back where you found it.
If you're a returning listener, yeah, what do you call a kid who steals home base? A thief. What do you? That was like an old commercial that we used to play out. Anyway, if you're a returning to Technorama, welcome back. We appreciate you giving us your time. I am Chuck Tomasi here in sunny Phoenix, Arizona. Well, it's not sunny. It's actually dark. Super moon on the rise. There's a bad moon on the horizon. And joining me, also watching the super moon from South Carolina, is my trusty and always co-host, Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I'm doing good. Hey, by the way, I think the super moon must be on the no capes thing. You know,
capes. Well, no capes. I was going to ask you, do you think Krypton has a super moon?
Not anymore.
Nope,
there's a it's out. It blew up part of the
John Miller ball. Wrote at the title at the top of the show when I said the title of the show, that's actually French for the big show.
No,
he said, did Craig Stepp just attempt French?
Because I said accoutrement.
Oh, that
what was funny was that's why I was laughing, because I said accoutrement, and then he said, did Craig Stepp just attempt French? And then you said the title of the show.
Good timing.
Yes,
good timing. Hey, coming up in this episode, we've got quite a few stories, including NASA's new satellite plan, awesome photos of old computer equipment, thanks to Keith Lane, who I believe is watching remotely. We have some random facts from Star Trek, and we're going to take a look at E.T.'s phone bill and a few more things. But before we get into that, I want to make a special shout-out. Congratulations to Paul and Jen Herring, who got married yesterday as we record this. Yes? You mean like that?
Yeah. I was giving him some applause. That's awesome.
Yeah, P.C. Herring is the author of the Cybrosis novel that I did some narration on, and T. Morris was an usher. I saw his pictures on Facebook. Congratulations to both of them. It's been another podcast ecosphere wedding, and we love it. We love it when you share things like
that.
And
by the way.
Yes.
And by the way, T. Morris was looking pretty sharp, I must say.
He was. He could have marched with us as Men in Black. What's up?
Yeah. He cleans up good.
Wow. See how that goes over when we interview him shortly.
That's right.
We also have some feedback.
What's this? A letter for me.
Well, not so much a letter, but a feedback message for us. We have our faithful, loyal listener, Jorga, over in... He's in Belgium, but I think he's close to France. I'm not sure exactly where he is right now, because he keeps traveling around. He's our postcard buddy. We were talking about lame superpowers a few weeks ago.
Yep.
And he came up with one called Bitflip Man, which I love the name, by the way. He just randomly flips a bit of your data. I've encountered him. He sounds more like a troublemaker. He's a, what is he, the Loki of the internet?
Hey, wait a minute. I got a cosplay vision when I read this. Is I could see you in some kind of red and blue superhero suit with a cape and everything. And you just walk around. All you got is a wall switch, you know? Click.
I'd make it more like black and white than red and blue, but okay.
Well, yeah, okay. No, okay. Okay, yeah, black and white. And you just walk around with like a electrical box with a switch attached to it, and you just flick.
Check your parity.
Yeah, check your parity. Check your parity, boys and girls.
We also have history for you today.
Oh, boy.
We love the history. Yeah. On this day in history for November 16th, 2016, this is the 320th day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are 45 days remaining in 2016. And it was on this date in 1822 that Missouri trader William Becknell arrives in Santa Fe, New Mexico over a route that became known as the, well, Santa Fe Trail.
There you go. Also, on November 16th, 1852, the English astronomer John Russell Hind discovers asteroid 22, Calliope. Calliope, excuse me. Good Lord. I started to say kaleidoscope, but that was...
Cynthia says she likes your green headphones, by the way.
Yes, I liked her comment.
It was also on this date in 1855 that David Livingstone becomes the first European to see the Victoria Falls, and then he helped her back up. It was in what is now present day Zambia, Zimbabwe.
And it was 112 years ago today that English engineer John Ambrose Fleming receives a patent for the thermionic valve. It's the vacuum tube.
Right. We have a story about vacuum tubes a little later. That same date in 1907, Cunard Line's RMS Mauritania, which is the sister ship of the RMS Lusitania, set sail on her maiden voyage from Liverpool, England to New York City.
Right. It was 96 years ago today that Qantas, Australia's national airline, is founded as Queensland and Northern Territory Aerial Services Limited.
I think Qantas is easier to say.
Yeah,
96 years. That's 1920. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Hey, the plane wasn't really even that established. I mean, it was fairly new at that point.
It was on that same date in 1938 that LSD is first synthesized by Albert Hofmann from ergotamine at the Sandoz Laboratories Basel.
Hey, drop in, tune out, something. Anyway.
Too much LDS in the 60s.
Right. That same date in 1965, the Soviet Union launches the Verna 3 space probe towards Venus, which will be the first spacecraft to reach the surface of another planet.
It was also on this date in 1973 that NASA launches Skylab 4 with a crew of three astronauts from Cape Canaveral, Florida, for an 84-day mission.
And November 16th, 1974, the Arecibo. Maybe I should have read these before. Arecibo messages broadcast from the Arecibo radio telescope in Puerto Rico. It was aimed at the current location of the globular. maybe I should have drank water before this beer. Globular star cluster, Messier 13, some 25,000 light years away.
I'm choosing my battles.
Yeah. Message will reach empty space by the time it finally arrives, since the cluster will have changed positions. Oops.
Missed it. I really wanted that clip from Futurama where Lur says, "That's because you were shooting where I was, not where I was shooting where I was going to be."
Right.
The pop group Milli Vanilli are stripped of their Grammy Award on this date due to not singing at all on the Girl You Know It's True album. Session musicians are provided all the vocals on, and that happened 26 years ago today in 1990.
Yeah. Wow. So happy birthday goes out on this date to Roman Emperor Tiberius, born on this date in -42.
Oh, hey, there's something wrong with my algorithm. It should have said 42 BC. I think I found a bug in the software. These were prepared by a computer, by the way.
I know, it caught me off guard. I was like, what am I reading?
I read these like three times. I still missed it. There's no number -42. Born November 16, 1717, French mathematician, physicist, and philosopher Jean-Laurent d'Alembert.
In Colorado.
Mad Marv's going to have a field day with you.
Calliope. Calliope? Is that how you say that?
Calliope.
Okay.
We're both doing very poorly today.
Of Hawaii was born 180 years ago today.
Burgess Meredith, you're a bum. The American actor, singer? I can't imagine Burgess Meredith singing a song, but
must have been another bug in your software.
Springsteen does. Director and producer and screenwriter was born 109 years ago today.
Wow, that's amazing. And born November 16th, 1916, American voice actor and singer, Dawes Butler.
Oh, was that Woody Woodpecker? I think it was.
I think you're right.
American computer scientist, physicist, and engineer who founded the Amdahl Corporation. Gene Amdahl was born 94 years ago today.
And born November 6th, 1948. American singer, songwriter, guitarist, actor, Eagles band member, Glenn Frey.
He passed away earlier this year.
Also,
turning 39 years ago today is Australian singer, songwriter, and actress, Gigi Edgley. From where do you know her from? You may not have watched the series.
I'm trying to remember.
Farscape.
I should know this.
Farscape.
Yes.
Farscape.
We
have several listener birthdays today, November 16th through 22nd. The 16th is Tim Elliott from Winecast. The 17th is Mike Smith from the Mike Tech Show and Lori Menengay. We had dinner with her last night. Laura Burns on the 19th. 22nd is Tom Pose from California. And that's the way it was on this day in history for November 16th, 2016.
Woohoo!
Hey. That was a race to the finish line. If you want to get your name on the birthday calendar, we'd love to give you a shout out at the appropriate time of year. Go over to chuckchat.com/wiki. Cue the lower third. There it is. Thank you very much.
Go.
Oh, nope. That's the how to contact us. The other one. Brown one. It's really tiny font. It's a brown one. I think it's the far. There it is. Woohoo. Thank you, video engineer extraordinaire. You can get your name. We'll give you a shout out at the appropriate time of year. We'd love to hear from you, which means it's now time for the news. Let's see. We have to pick the right one here.
Good news, everyone.
What?
The good news is that NASA is launching a new series of small satellites to study the Earth. And I love this picture. The guy looks like he just opened a Christmas present.
Look, I got one.
I found my Han Solo action figure from 1977.
Look, I got my cartridge from my Atari 2600 finally.
NASA announced its plans to deploy multiple swarms of tiny weather-sensing, climate-changing observing satellites over the next few months during a teleconference held on Monday. The satellites will not only help advance climate science, but also enable them to build the next generation of, quote, small satellites for far less than they do today. The space agency plans to launch three such missions, two by the end of the year, the Cyclone Global Navigation Satellite System, or CYGNSS. You know there's a committee.
Done better on the naming, by the way.
You know there's a committee out there doing this.
Yeah.
Which is slated for December 12th, which will put eight identical cube satellites into orbit where they will monitor tropical storms and improve weather forecasting efforts. And there's also the radiometer assessment using vertically aligned nanotubes, or RAVAN, project. On the other hand, which will launch in late November, launching three satellites, which will monitor greenhouse gases. NASA hopes to eventually launch an Earth-covering array of RAVAN. Aren't those the sunglasses? Oh, those are Ray-Bans.
Yeah,
RAVAN satellites to assist in climate change research. A third program, for which a launch date has not yet been set, is time-resolved observations of precipitation structured and storm intensity with a constellation of small sats, or, if you squint real hard, tropics.
There you go.
Oh, my gosh. Time-resolved observation of precipitation structure and storm intensity with a constellation of small sats. Gee whiz.
Hey, that's your... remember the movie Twister when they called it Dorothy?
Yes.
I was like, they should have come up with a name like that rather than Cyclone Global Navigation and Satellite System.
Oh, my goodness.
Hey, well, you know, Dr. Michio Kaku, and I forget which book it was. I think it was his the one where he's looking in the future 100 years. I'm trying to remember the name of it.
Physics of the Future, and he had Physics of the Impossible. I think.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, I think it may have been the future one. Well, he was looking at our advancement over the next 100 years, and he advocated in there, or there was somebody had floated the idea around of making miniature satellites and actually sending those out.
Well, he made that announcement. Was it Dr. Kaku or Dr. Hawking?
Dr. Kaku had
one of them earlier this year said, we are going to do this. And just
yes, and they should.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm not just talking about satellites to monitor our weather, but I mean, like sending them out because they can go much farther or much faster rather on less energy. And of course it was much more cost effective because they don't have to build this huge, you know, thing, but they would have to pack a bunch of sensors in there. I guess communication was an issue. I don't know, but I thought that was made much more sense rather than building something huge that takes a lot to push it. One, to get it out of our atmosphere, much less, you know, send it somewhere.
We also have a follow-up in the community from our On This Day in History. Dawes Butler also did the voices of Augie Doggie and Elroy Jetson.
Yeah, he did a bunch of them. If you look at his characters,
Yeah. Those are some of the more recognizable ones. So
that was it. Yogi Bear. Tim Elliott had it right too. Yeah, he was Yogi Bear.
Oh, really? Okay, I did not know that one. Good.
Yeah.
Good. Next story. This is interesting because we talked about vacuum tubes, and this is kind of a throwback. Remember those old timey-wimey room-sized vacuum tube power computers with less processing power than your smartphone? That tech may be making a comeback, thanks to work from scientists at UC San Diego. They built the first semiconductor-free, laser-controlled microelectronics device. No, this isn't going anywhere with an acronym. That uses free electrons. I guess you don't have to pay for them anymore. Much as vacuum tubes do. The research could result in better solar panels and faster microelectronic devices that can carry more power. Semiconductors based on silicon and other materials are great, obviously having helped us squeeze billions and billions of transistors into a few square inches. But they have some issues. Electron velocity is limited by the resistance of the semiconductor materials, and a boost of energy is required to just get them flowing through the, quote, band gap caused by the insulating properties of semiconductors like silicon. Vacuum tubes, on the other hand, don't have these problems, since they dislodge free electrons to carry or not a current through space. Getting free electrons at nanoscale size is problematic, however. You need to either have high voltages, like over 100 volts. That's probably not going to happen in your cell phone. High temperatures,
unless you own a Samsung Note 7.
Yeah, that's the next one. High temperatures or a powerful laser to knock them loose. Well, the UC San Diego team solved that problem by building a gold, quote, mushroom nanostructures with adjacent parallel gold strips, as shown in the diagram on the screen. We love showing you pictures. And I know this isn't quite working out right in audio form, but hey, stick with us. We'll make it worth your while. You can always go through the show notes. By combining a relatively low amount of voltage, like 10 volts, we can do that, and a low-powered laser, they were able to dislodge electrons from the gold metal. Ooh. The result, look at this, was a 10-fold or 1,000% increase in conductivity in the system, a change sufficient to realize on and off states. That is the structure performed in an optical switch. According to the paper in Nature, the device can thus act as a transistor, power amplifier, or photodetector, like semiconductors do. However, it can theoretically work with less resistance and handle higher amounts of power. This is pretty cool. There is a little video that explains it a little more clear and has pictures than I do if you click through the show note links on our website. So go over there. This is very forward-looking because as semiconductors and electronics have shrunk down, we are hitting some of these physical limitations of what we can do, and this may be a way around that.
That's right. You know what you said early in the article, it said, remember those old timey-wimey room-sized vacuum cleaners? He was saying vacuum cleaner. Vacuum tubes. I was thinking, at what point does old technology, is it so far removed from younger people, that when they get out of school, they would invent what we already had back in the day?
Well, it's not quite that, but it uses similar underlying concepts.
No, I'm just saying, in the future, somebody says, look, I made this vacuum tube. It worked, you know, and it turns out we had them like 70, 80 years prior. Just saying. I thought it'd be funny. Just go with it, okay?
All righty. Well, I'll laugh during the break. We're going to take a quick break here.
Thanks.
Stick around because we got more hacks and strange stories, remember when, and some good stuff in the media corner. Hang up with us.
Hello, friends and neighbors. I'm your little podcast buddy, Dave Slusher. The Evil Genius Chronicles is the longest-running podcast on the internet, starting in August 2004 and continuing to this very day. It's a discussion of technology, culture, philosophy, comedy. Conversations may range from politics to comic books, from games to literature, but no matter where it leads, it's a lot of fun. There'll be songs, some interviews now and then. It's a weekly dose of audio joy, except during the dog days of podcasting, when it is a daily dose of audio joy. That's a good 80 episodes a year, and you can join the frivolity at evilgeniuschronicles.org. See you there. Excelsior!
Hey, this is Colin Ferguson from Sci-Fi's Eureka. I play Sheriff Jack Carter. And now back to Chuck and Craig on Technorama.
You know, every time I hear that theme from Dave Slusher's show, I hear a new element in the music, especially with headphones on. Because a lot of time I'd be listening, you know, in the car or something. With headphones, you can really pick up some nuances. I never really heard that.
Yeah.
Right ear going.
Oh yeah!
Like, wow.
Every time I hear it, I get nostalgic.
You get flashbacks to 2004.
Pretty much. I mean, you know, it was the first one podcaster I ever listened to. So whenever I hear it, I think back in the day. You know. So.
And now we talk to him on conference calls all the time.
Yeah. Now he's old hat. Except for the music. No.
Play your music during a WebEx.
Hey, yeah, that's what we need.
Speaking of throwbacks, we've got a hack and strange story for you to listen to.
Yeah.
Go. You want to go for it?
Sure. So your grandma... Yeah, you got to love an article that starts off with like that.
Get off my lawn, you kids!
Right. Doesn't have to be the only one with a television standing on wooden legs. Doshisha has released a retro-looking TV with all the hallmarks. What did I start to say? Hallmarks of one.
How much have you had to drink tonight?
Not enough, apparently. And with all the hallmark.
Would you like me to take over? Just hit tag. I'm right outside the ring.
No.
Okay.
Hallmarks of. I like getting beat up. One straight from the 1970s. Although it looks like more than 40 years old, this TV actually is a 20-inch flat screen LCD surrounded by a wood casing and featuring a volume and channel knobs that work. Imagine that. This comes with the most modern inputs that you'd expect, HDMI, AV, USB, Ethernet ports. It also includes the digital audio output, so you can hook it up to your home theater and start running movie marathons with very little effort. There is also a modern remote control that, in case the novelty of getting up and hitting the buttons, I'm ad-libbing that part, or hearing the ka-chunk, the channel knob being torn off, you know, just from getting up on your couch, just, you know.
I want to hear that ka-chunk, ka-chunk, ka-chunk as you turn the channels.
I know. I remember my grandmother, my grandparents.
Well, you've got 250 channels. That's a lot of ka-chunking just to get around.
I know. I'd rather just go 290, bing. No. So what's especially cool about this crazy looking TV is it has a storage area just behind the display. Of course, what else are you going to put back there, right? If you lift up the top of the box, it reveals a little cubby hole that can be used for storing DVDs, hiding expensive scotch. I like that idea. Or I would like to open it and have a little wet bar raise up. That would be cool. Or basically anything else smaller than about 10 inches.
So will it fit my vinyl albums? It's a cool looking thing. Very nicely done, tastefully done. When's the last time you saw a TV with legs? Where'd Craig's audio go? Craig, I can't hear you. Can't hear him. Nope, I didn't. There. Well,
what? Hello?
Now he's back.
I didn't do anything.
I don't know. You blitzed out for a minute. My hands have remained in the same position.
I think we need to check your internet.
Yeah.
Anyway, no. All the TVs I've seen nowadays have pedestals.
Pedestal. Oh, pedestals, not pedophiles.
No, no. I don't want that. Pedestals. Yeah.
Hey, we want to...
You meet that guy the other day? His name was Peterphile.
Peterphile? No, he said, what's your email? He says, it's file Peter. Anyway, reference to the IT crowd. Go watch it. It's a good show.
Yeah.
Okay. We want to give a shout out to the people watching live on Facebook right now. Thank you very much. You can see us Sunday nights at 9:30 Eastern. And just to watch how this is done, unedited, straight from us to you, just go to our Facebook page, Technorama Podcast, and join us in the live broadcast. We've got a few people out there right now. We've got John Miller Jr. He must be a friend of yours. Yes? A friend of the show now?
Yeah, he actually worked with me at my old ISP we used to have.
We got the other Tim Elliott, not the birthday boy coming up, but the other Tim Elliott, and Cynthia Fry. I thought I saw Kevin Devon, and Crazy Joe just joined us. Thanks, Crazy Joe. You want to watch us? We enjoy it. This is fun doing it live, integrating your commentary into the show, which means it's time for the green icon.
You need to put emoticons on the buttons, like in Idiocracy. You're having a baby, or you have getting stabbed, or you're bleeding. Hit the button.
Oh, Keith Lane has sent us over a collection of pictures from Tech Republic. And Donna, you just want to roll that playlist? It's like the one that says zombie technology. There are some great ones in here in no particular order. There are, and it's amazing how many of these I've actually used. It's crazy. The IBM Model 29 card punch. These punch cards in the studio, which seem to have... There they are. We're born on that punch card system. That exact one. These right here.
Where you at? Oh.
We also have a 1541 drive, I believe, for the Commodore, which you may be familiar with, Craig. Lots of tape drives and hard drives from Radio Shack systems.
By the way, they're the one with the Commodore PET.
Yes.
With the weird keyboard. I think we actually saw that at the Computer History Museum, because I remember walking by going, wait, that didn't look like a standard keyboard. And that it would look like that. It looked like a cash register almost.
I think Stan Seeler probably has used every one of these or has encountered these at the Computer History Museum.
I think I even have a picture of that one, because I got some pictures. Well, they took us back to the visual storage. There was, just shelves of stuff. It was like Indiana Jones had dropped off some stuff, and that's where they, some computer stuff, and that's where they took it. That's that kind of warehouse.
I like the Apple Basic cassette tape with instructions how to load them. There's the Altair Basic 4K on paper tape. I think they should distribute the next version of Windows on paper tape.
Get a big roll.
You've got an Atari cassette drive and floppy drive. The Commodore CBM Model 4040 dual floppy disk, which was rare to see. They didn't often have dual floppies. And I found out that once Apple went to the disk drives, the Disk 2 system, the consumers were putting the rainbow sticker on there.
Oh, really? Okay.
Crazy stuff. There's a controlled data, like an old Burroughs machine, that got recycled when they got bought out by Controlled Data and just sent on to whoever leased it next. The computer from War Games is pictured in here.
Oh, yeah.
With floppy drives, dual 8-inch floppy drives. Yeah, the you were mentioning the PET computer. And the keys aren't offset. They're actually in rows and columns, which would make it really hard to type if you're a touch typist.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. When you look at it, I mean, it looks like it's almost in the configuration for a cash register or something. Yeah. It looks kind of strange.
I like the DEC tape drive with the fault codes printed on them, and every one of those fault codes ends with contact support. It's like, if the fault code is 07, it means the tape drive is open. Close the tape drive or call support if that doesn't work. Like, wow.
If you can't close it, that's right.
Sony made computers, DEC made computers. The DEC Rainbow was one of my favorites because it wasn't quite IBM compatible. It was just off a little bit. When's the last time you've seen a hard drive with a key to turn it on?
Yeah, got to start it up.
I guess that's why they called them hard drives.
Megabytes
used to be a lot back then, kids.
Oh my gosh, that was
a lot of storage.
Hey, that was 3 floppies worth.
No, that was more than 3 floppies worth.
It was a little bit more. Well, 1, 2.
Floppies
three.
Would normally hold about 120 or 160 or 180K.
Formatted.
You're talking a lot of floppies.
No, I was thinking a 3.5-inch floppy. Yeah.
Well, that would get up to 1.44 megabytes. Did you used to use the TU-80 tape drive, hard drive? No?
TU-80?
I'm asking Donna. She did some VAX work in the early days. I couldn't remember if they had a TU-80. Oh, the Chromemco. I used one of those in college when my brother was teaching an interface class, the S100 bus, and you hooked up a hard, not a hard terminal, but a CRT terminal. But we've gone around the loop. If you want to look at them again, go to the show notes. They're a wonderful collection of pictures.
By the way, when we took apart your computer and
the K-Pro,
I had the big floppy drive and I took some pictures. I put my camera lens right at the slot for the disc, floppy disc.
You stuck the camera lens like right in the floppy door.
Yeah.
Click.
And it turned out great. Well, in the photo show that I participate in the fall, I had a picture. It's actually,
I saw that.
I have it had it hanging on the wall and I had people go, "Wow, what is that?" And I say, "Well, please tell me what you think it is. And I'll let you know." And people say, I got everything from a platform, like from a loading dock.
Yeah.
I was like, okay. To some people said, what was the other weird one? It was something. Yeah. I was like, how did you get that from that picture? I don't know. But
it looked like some sort of futuristic conference room or lobby to an office building. It just sort of had that nice symmetrical, here's the center kind of focus where you should look thing.
Yeah. And people didn't know what to make of the motor that was sitting right there. And then as soon as I pointed it out, I said, and you can see the blue cylinder in the back. That's also a motor. And this is this. Oh, okay. Yeah. Anyway, it was kind of neat to see people's eyes light up when I tell them what it was.
It's time to thank our patrons.
Let's do it.
Yes.
I love them.
We love our patrons. And that's because they help support the show with actual cash. And in return, we give them special episodes that only they get to hear, special discussions. We thank Kyle Nishioka, Chris MC, Nick St. Gabriel, John Noble, Mike Wills, Alexis Duran, Amy Bowen, Steve Therian, Ben Vaughn, Abner Braverman, Saturday Morning Media, Dennis Patnod, and Leon. Thank you all very much for your support of the show.
Hey,
by the way...
Hey, you were reading the table in a different order, and I was like, I was going across the top row and went,
I always go across.
Where's he at?
I switch it up. Okay. By the way, the books have gone out. Those of you who said you want a book, we are offering a special year-end book for our patrons, and we've sent those out as of yesterday, so you should be getting them shortly in the mail. Thank you very much for that. If you are a supporter and you want a book, send us an email. Let us know your postal address. We're not going to use it in any database. It's just so I can send you a book. If you want to become a patron, you know what? I'm going to extend this to all new patrons through the end of the year. If you want a book, you become a patron between now and the time we either run out of calendar days or run out of books, I will send you one also. You can join this merry band of supporters at patreon.com/technoramapodcast. We'd love to include you on the weekly shout out and thank you for your support. Any closing comments, Craig?
Please come.
Please help.
Come support us.
It helps support things like you probably noticed the lag between the audio and the video on this show. We're going to fix that, but we need help.
By the way, you can buy our love.
Yes, you can.
Just saying.
That sounds like a song from the 80s. You can buy our love.
You can buy our love. Need some synthesizers.
Anyway.
That's right. Okay, enough of that.
We try not to sing, but eventually the compulsion is overwhelming. Media Corner time.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Hey, where can I find some good information about music and TV and videos and things?
Over here, in the media corner.
We have some random facts about Star Trek, many of which I'm sure Star Trek fans around the world already know.
Clinton Alvord was in the chat a little bit ago. I assume he may still be watching. I'm curious to see if we throw anything at him that he doesn't know.
I doubt he's going to get anything new. Maybe. There were one or two on here that I hadn't heard of before. It was an interesting topic. This is from an infographic we found on Geeks Are Sexy. It says, following the popularity of the 1957 Western Wagon Train, Star Trek was originally marketed under the original title Wagon Train to the Stars. Put a check mark next to that one. Knew that one.
Yep. Yep.
I didn't know this one. Patrick Stewart refused to unpack his suitcase for the first 6 weeks of shooting on The Next Generation because he believed the show would fail.
I don't know about the luggage part, but I remember him thinking it was he felt a little uneasy.
Clinton is here. Crazy Joe says, me too. So let us know, boys, if we throw anything new to you. In the pilot episode, the first officer was played by a woman. Yes, that's a fact, and we're not...
Correct.
The network had the role recast as they thought it wasn't believable for a female to be in charge.
I totally agree. I mean, I don't agree with that.
probably got that one. Beam me up, Scotty, the famous quote that everybody uses. No, turns out that was never really delivered in the original film or series. The closest Captain Kirk came to this was saying, Scotty, beam us up.
Where did that come? Why did it?
I don't know. That's a good one, isn't it?
I mean, if they never said it,
doesn't quite work on the screen, does it?
I mean, okay. So if they never said it, how would it become a catchphrase? I mean, that's
mythical lore. Somebody says it and it catches on. Mm-hmm. Zachary Quinto was unable to perform the Vulcan salute. When he played Spock in the 2009 film, so he had to have his fingers glued together.
Wow.
Ow.
I've heard other actors have had to do that, you know, or tape them together a little bit or something.
Speaking of the famous Vulcan salute, Leonard Nimoy invented it based on a Jewish blessing.
I do remember that.
And that was mentioned in Adam Nimoy's documentary For the Love of Spock. I think that's where I picked that one up.
I remember Leonard Nimoy was talking about that, especially, well, just in some interview, I remember mentioning that. It was like the way they do the symbol for in the Jewish service. I don't know what it means, actually.
Leonard Nimoy's Spock character was originally rejected by TV bosses as they feared his pointed ears would appear satanic and would upset viewers. I've heard that one before.
Yeah. They were proven wrong.
Here's another well-known one that many Trekkies around the globe enjoy. The original Star Trek series showed the first ever interracial kiss on US TV. That's interesting to have that qualifier on there. Between Kirk and Uhura in 1968.
Yeah, I've never heard of what the qualifier.
That's me neither. That one's new. I thought it was ever, but okay. Somebody must have beaten them to it in like the UK. One we're all familiar with is the flip communicator was used by the crew to contact the Enterprise. It was credited as an early design model for the mobile phone.
Well,
I've heard that people have been inspired by that, but I didn't know. This is just a different way of saying that. Maybe
it's a softer way of saying that. It's not a huge leap to realize that. I mean, you know, especially when we had phones, you know,
Clinton says that there are PR shots of Nimoy's ears airbrushed out.
Wow. I have to go look for that.
I like this one. I hadn't heard this one either before. The 2009 film, The Sound of the Enterprise Automatic Doors Opening, was actually a toilet flushing on a Russian train. I really want to go back and watch that movie now.
Shoo. Actually, I thought I did like the door sounds that the newer movies made. I thought a lot of their effects sounded good. Yeah.
Red-shirted characters are famous for being killed off in the original series. Director J.J. Abrams paid tribute to this in his 2009 film by having Chief Engineer Olson die in a red shirt. Well, that was obvious.
And his suit was red. That's what he was doing. The suit was red.
When they're skydiving down to the drilling rig.
Yeah, because I remember watching the movie going, at first, I was like, oh, he's screwed.
Yeah, it's Kirk, Sulu, and Olsen. And Olsen's wearing red. It's the standard classic red shirt thing. As soon as they got on that shuttle, like, guess who's going to die?
That's right.
After a huge response from Star Trek fans, the first NASA space shuttle orbiter was named Enterprise. I knew about that one. Star Trek fans are dubbed Trekkies and are the only fans to be listed by name in the Oxford Dictionary. Very intriguing.
Now you sound like a Spock.
Fascinating.
Right.
As well as spawning 12 feature films and over 700 episodes, the Star Trek franchise has also been adapted into board, video, and slot games. And as well as toys, clothes, and even a Sulu cologne. Oh, my. I did not know there was a Sulu cologne. I knew about the rest of that stuff. U.S. President Barack Obama is a Star Trek fan. Knew that. And gave the Vulcan salute when meeting Leonard Nimoy in 2008. I believe I've heard that as well.
Mm-hmm.
And one we're all well aware of, in a final fitting salute tribute note, ashes of Star Trek creators Gene Roddenberry and James Doohan have been taken into space aboard NASA rockets.
Yes, I did know about
that. Yep. I believe they came back, too.
You know, I think they just took them up there and brought them back, isn't that right?
I think so, just to say they were in space.
Hey, by the way.
Wait, Crazy Joe says Sulu wasn't the only cologne.
Oh, Shatner?
Oh, you did not just say that.
I'm serious. I thought there was
That's a terrible send, Shatner.
No,
I'm serious. I love it when you intentionally don't make a joke, and it's funnier than when you try.
Wait, what? I'm serious. Wasn't there William Shatner had a... No, I'm serious. All right. Cologne.
Crazy Joe is in one called Tiberius.
There you go. Yeah.
Oh, I can see we're going to have to come up with a sketch of the new line of Star Trek scents.
Try your shat.
Put your shat on.
What I was gonna say before I was rudely interrupted. Our buddy Clinton went to I can't ever say this place. Ticonderoga, Roga.
It's
New
on
York,
every pencil in school, man.
It's where they went. He went on the tour, the original bridge.
Oh yeah.
And I saw the picture of him on Facebook, and I immediately knew. I think he mentioned he was wanting to go there, and I immediately knew he went there because it was. And he's sitting on the bridge. He looks like he's got the concerned captain look on his face. but it looked great. Fire? I'd like to. Yeah, I wish he'd call in or something and give us a little heads up how it was. And so anyway.
Well, maybe we can get him on a hangout and join. Okay. Yeah. Switching from Star Trek to Star Wars, we're going to have to wrap this up pretty... Oh, we're all right on time. We got a couple more stories. There's a story of a man who is living a full time as a gray Jedi. 46-year-old Kevin Cottom is not the world's biggest Star Wars fan, but for the last 2 years... He has never left home without his iconic Jedi robe and trusty lightsaber. He is the UK's only full-time Grey Jedi, which is not the same as a Grey Wizard.
No, wait a minute. If he's not the biggest fan, why?
I'll tell you why. Cottom says he became a follower of Jediism 6 years ago after doing some research online. He had become frustrated by all the rules most religions follow, so he decided to look for something more suitable. Quote, "Before becoming a Jedi, I was a Zen Buddhist. But I was frustrated with all the different precepts and mandates that came with the religion," he says. Okay. I researched other religions online and came across the D-Jedi, I'm intentionally saying it that way so you know there's a D, of ancient Egypt, which inspired the Jedi in Star Wars. He learned that Jediism didn't have any holy texts or commandments, only three basic laws: the cycle of knowledge, wisdom, and compassion. Through the application of knowledge, we gain wisdom. Through the and through wisdom, we become compassionate. He felt that this simple principle provided more guidance than thousands of restrictive and oftentimes nonsensical rules ever could. So he decided to ditch Zen Buddhism for Jediism and became a gray Jedi. Quote, all Jedi believe there's a force that creates everything. I don't think they said it creates everything. It flows through everything.
It binds it all together.
Shows what he knows about his own religion.
Flows through everything is what he says.
But he says that it creates everything. Maybe it's just this article being written wrong.
Now, I don't mean to dump on his religion, but is the garb really necessary to fulfill those kind of?
Apparently, it is because he was wearing just the robes, and then the police thought he was in a troublemaker, so he had to spend a whole lot of money to buy one of those really expensive lightsabers that even you and I with a job can't afford.
Yeah, no kidding. Wow.
I like this part though. He says, my girlfriend of 6 years left me as she did not want to be seen in public with someone dressed like me. I had been happy with her, but I also had my faith to follow. And if I lost that, I would no longer be who I am. Cottam wrote to The Guardian. Some friends have stuck by me. One loves going out with me and we travel all over just so she can show me off. The reactions I get are mixed, but children always ask if they can have their photo taken with me and I'm happy to oblige.
Wait a minute. Jedis are forbidden to love.
That's why she left him.
She did him a favor.
Did him a solid.
That's right. Now, are you going back to that chat thing?
I knew you were going to take it that direction. Yeah, sick mind. Sick mind.
Yeah. Yeah.
John Miller says she went Sith.
Yeah, I'm gonna pledge that I'm gonna live my life as a gray Sith.
I'm going Gandalf myself. All right, we have the last part of our show is Geek Library. I'm gonna throw in the Super Friends thing.
Yeah, heard it in there a little bit.
Very subtle. So we finally know what.
Wait a minute. That's where you need to put it right there when it goes to fade out.
Let's do that again.
Yeah.
Let's try that. We're just mixing different clips on the fly.
Yeah. Right there towards the end when it goes ready to. When it starts to do that last part.
Too late.
That's a little late, but I'll do it again. And this time, no, I'm just kidding.
Okay. Yeah. Take 46, Geek Library. All right, in the Geek Library, we finally know how much it would cost for E.T. to phone home.
Wait a minute. I thought he reversed the charges.
Calling collect. Cell phones have done many things to our lives, but one that gets overlooked is erasing the memory of long-distance phone calls. See, 20 years ago, receiving or making a long-distance phone call was a big deal, and taking that into account, one company has figured out how much it would have cost E.T. to phone home. We're referring to, of course, Steven Spielberg's classic 1982 film, E.T. the Extraterrestrial. In the film, the alien and his friend Elliot construct a communications device that would allow them to call E.T.'s planet so he can go home. Now, obviously, though 1982 was prime long-distance time, E.T. and Elliot figured a way around any long distance charges, but that's no fun though. And I don't think he had to actually call his home planet. I think he just had to reach the ship, which booked out a couple of days ago. Right.
All he needed was the Captain Crunch whistle. He could have gotten around these charges.
Like the 2600 club.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. So tollfreeforwarding.com broke down how much a 10-minute call from California, where the film was set, would be to various places around the world. They averaged it out, then broke it down per mile. Then they applied that number to the distance to E.T.'s home planet of Brodo Osogi, which wasn't mentioned in the film.
Right.
But it's been mentioned in ancillary material since the release of the movie. So what's the total? It's a whopping $76 quadrillion.
And ironically, that's the same number of money that Atari lost on the cartridge.
Wow, if you want to be exact, amazing. it was It was 76,424,516,944,867,816,700 to be exact. There is, if you click through to the website, there's a pretty cool infographic that you can scroll and find out how much it would have cost to do a 10-minute call to the moon, which is about $1,000. Mars, Saturn, the Kuiper Belt, it just keeps going on from there out to Alpha Centauri and Gliese 486. Yeah. Hey.
And yet we can Skype for free.
Now we can.
Yeah.
And look at the, listen to that quality we get.
Yeah.
All right. Awesome. We are nearing the end of the show. We have a question for you, though. We want to hear from you. Hey, that was a good use of that background. Nice imagery.
Yeah.
What is one favorite tech device, and what is one thing you wish you could wave a magic wait. Wand and make it do? What?
Yeah, I didn't think I worded this right. So what is one of your favorite tech devices, and what is one thing you wish you could wave a magic wand and make it do?
Okay, so you take your phone, wave a magic.
Was an iPod, you know, and you want it to make phone calls. Poof, it's an iPhone. I'm just saying, what is one feature you would like to add to your favorite tech device?
Why do I get the feeling that Don is inspiring me by putting things on the screen? Why do I get the feeling you would take your Android phone, wave a magic wand, and make it play cassette tapes?
Well, I might be able to do that.
I love that's the silent subliminal messages she's sending from over there. It's great. Let us know. We want to hear from you. You can reach us on the listener line at 707-530-CHAT. That's 707-530-2428. Roll the lower thirds. You can email us, technorama@chuckchat.com. There it is. You can also send us a review on iTunes. We'd love to hear from you. There's many ways you can support the show. In fact, that's my cue to roll that clip. So get in touch with us. We want to hear what you could do to your favorite device to make it do something more. Maybe it'd be a rocket ship. Maybe it'd be a time machine. A TARDIS.
Yeah. I want to make my truck go into time.
John Miller says, well, there's already a device called a magic wand, and since this is a family show, I can't discuss what it does.
Thank you.
Nicely done. See, if you're on the live show, you don't even have to call in anymore.
I know. Hey, by the way, there is a big call-in button on the Technorama podcast Facebook page.
Where does it lead you?
To the caller voicemail.
All right. And, yeah, on the Facebook page, you can do that.
And oh, wait. I just thought about that. Maybe yes. I need to update the phone number.
On the Facebook page? Yeah, we better check that out.
Yeah, how many calls have we missed?
All right. Till next time. Give me a binary high five.
101. Bye, everybody.
Fry crack corn and I don't care. Leela crack corn and still don't care. Fender crack corn, he is great. Take that, you stupid corn.